This is Greg Olson, inviting you to check out my new Blue Wire podcast, TE1, where I interview tight ends throughout the history of the NFL who have helped revolutionize the position. TE1 is presented by the Chevy Silverado. The Silverado is all about grit. It's strong and dependable, exactly like playing tight end. Just like the incredible players we sit down with on the podcast, the Chevy Silverado is in a league of its own. Strong, advanced, and dependable. Download TE1 today, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Mahomes has the time, delivers perfectly downfield. Touchdown, Patrick Mahomes with a rope.
This one, Adams, touchdown. This time going deep for Beckham Jr.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to RotoViz Overtime and RotoViz Radio, brought to you by Pepsi, Indeed, and betonline.ag. My name is Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. Once again, joined by Sean Siegel as we get ready for week two of the NFL season. We're going to have a little bit of a fun shakeup here for the second show of each week during the NFL season. We're going to be joined by one analyst, basically with a kind of a 2 or 3 minute clip, giving their reaction to that past week and what we should be diving into rest of season regarding that. So today's show, we're going to have a clip from Davis Maddock, and then myself and Sean are going to react to that, give our thoughts rest of season. It's going to be fun. We have a lot of good guys lined up for throughout the season. So each Thursday show is going to be led off by that, and then we'll give some of our other thoughts on our rest of season expectations. So Sean, just before we get straight into it, I guess I'll do the pleasantries. All set for week two?
Yeah, this is going to be great. We saw the wide receivers blow up. We saw the running backs blow up. I'm interested to see who takes it the next step. Now, are we going to get to 4 or 5 touchdowns from Dalvin Cook, Ezekiel Elliott, Alvin Kamara, Josh Jacobs, as we're going to talk about in a moment? Can he get to 6 touchdowns after 2 weeks? And on the receiving side, just how many more targets is Davante Adams going to get? Will DeAndre Hopkins get in the end zone after he was, I'm going to claim, Rob, that's probably not exactly what the video shows, terms of his late touchdown. And, you know, where are we going to be with this Falcons offense? Calvin Ridley, can he step up and be the true co-number one with Julio Jones? Obviously, we're rooting for some of those developments. And then, like we mentioned, you know, what does A.J. Brown do after a week one where Ryan Tannehill seemed more than content to take a billion play drive, get 2 yards at a time, and not look in his direction? You know, can DJ Moore bounce back from a game in which he made a couple of critical drops while his teammate Robbie Anderson blew up, beat teams deep, as we know Robbie Anderson can do. So definitely some players looking to bounce back as well. If week two can be even 75% as exciting as week one, then we're going to be off to an amazing start for the 2020 season.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun starting off with Thursday night football and then rolling all the way through Sunday. Just love watching. It's one of my favorite things to do is watch those Sunday games as they unfold. Looking forward to it again this weekend. And as you mentioned there, a number of exciting players that had big weeks, and there was a number of players that we were hoping for exciting weeks that had quiet weeks, like AJ Brown, like DJ Moore, obviously Courtland Sutton, you know, a little bit banged up. So we'll see what happens over the next couple of weeks. You know, Miles Sanders missed out on week one. Lots of things like that. Looking forward to seeing what happens in week two. See what we overreacted to, see what we underreacted to. And that's part of what we're going to do on today's show as we get ready for the clip in just a moment from Davis Maddock. But Sean, before we jump into that, it's time to hit the FFPC stat attack.
Yeah, and our FFPC stat attack is going to look at, again, the wide receiver deep dive from Zachary Kruger. And one of his favorite guys, someone who was a good target late in drafts, Russell Gage, had another big game. And it wasn't just the 12 targets that he had this past week. If we look back at his last 10 games, Gage is tied for 17th in terms of targets per game at 7.8. That's among all wide receivers there. His 12 targets weren't even a career high. He was targeted 13 times in week 17 last year. So you look at those 25 targets from the last two games, he's really getting up there. And then his 20 fantasy points, a wide receiver 11 finish in week one, that did set a new career mark. Obviously, the Falcons threw the ball 54 times. That won't happen every week, but this could be the kind of offense that actually supports 3 viable starting wide receivers.
Yeah, and I would say that, you know, they mightn't throw the ball that amount of times every week, but with the Falcons offense, they just might throw it that amount of times every week. They love to throw the ball with Matt Ryan, and always one of the more fun offenses to watch. I made that prediction on last week's show that Gurley, Ridley, and Jones would all finish with double-digit touchdowns this year, so that one got off to a pretty good start. I think that this offense could be one of the more explosive ones, and I hadn't factored Gage into that, but maybe by the end of the season we'll have four guys at double-digit touchdowns for them. But let's get into the clips we can react to. It's going to be Davis Maddock from sportsgrid.com. you can check him out as well on the Takecast and the Swolecast. So we're going to let the clip play, and then we'll give our thoughts after it.
Hey guys, this is Davis Maddock from sportsgrid.com calling in to the RotoViz Overtime Show with Colm and Sean, here to deliver my take of the week. And the take that I'm going to deliver is one that I was probably wrong about in the preseason, but I imagine that I just want Sean and Colm's opinion on this one, which is that Josh Jacobs is now looking like one of the absolute best values of draft season. You know, someone that you were able to get in the second round, where Aaron Jones didn't look particularly great in week one, definitely still in that timeshare with Jamal Williams, Kenyon Drake in a clear timeshare with Chase Edmonds. It was Edmonds who scored the receiving touchdown. Kareem Hunt is the lead back in Cleveland, not Nick Chubb. We have Miles Sanders missing a game with injury. Jacobs, however, career high in carries inside the five, career highs in route run, actually had six targets, which was second most on the Las Vegas Raiders, more than Henry Ruggs, more than Bryan Edwards, which I think is pretty interesting, but also more targets than Jalen Richard, who was only targeted once. Devontae Booker targeted only three times in this game. You know, I really think that we are seeing Jacobs be used the way he was used at Alabama, where he really was a better pass-catching running back than he was. If, you know, if people don't remember, he was the pass-catching back when Damian Harris was kind of the grinder first and second on back. So it never really made sense that the Raiders planned on using him that way. And, you know, it's just kind of fantasy football is kind of one of those weird things where I loved Jacobs last year. You know, you could get Jacobs in the quote-unquote running back dead zone, but you could get him in the fourth round. And I always expected Jacobs to catch passes, but he didn't last year. And I think that, you know, this is something that I have seen from a lot of high-stakes players this year who really kept hammering Jacobs. Now, granted, they were going to have some huge misses too, because these same guys were drafting Leonard Fournette and Melvin Gordon, some of these guys who really are not going to pan out this year. But I feel like I really did miss the boat with Josh Jacobs, and I really would love to hear the opinion of my RotoViz brethren to see where they are at on Josh Jacobs. Do we think this is a one-week Carolina Panthers-related thing? You know, obviously super high-scoring game going into the 60s, or do we think that we missed the boat with a true workhorse in the second round of fantasy football drafts?
So, Sean, that was Davis giving his kind of opinion on what happened over the weekend, and then we're obviously looking at what's going to happen moving forward. I'll go first. I was really surprised by how good Jacobs looked. One of the things I wasn't expecting him was the usage in the receiving game, because with the picks, you know, or with the pickups all off season, with the draft process, we kind of thought that the Raiders didn't trust Jacobs as a pass catcher. A lot of the backs they took in were kind of third down backs who might specialize in that role. We thought then, you know, with Ruggs coming in, there could be some shorter targets or screen passes going his way that would eliminate those need for passes to the running back. And I was just like, he just looked like a complete workhorse to me in terms of how he played. I can honestly hold my hands up and say not a single roster of any shape or form that I have has Jacobs on it, whether that's dynasty or season long for this year. But I think, like Davis mentioned, I possibly may have missed the boat there. He was in that range where I wasn't really ever going to take a running back based on how I was setting up those rosters. But I was really, really impressed with him. He mentioned as well the fact that there was 60 points in that game. I mentioned on the show last week that I thought that the Panthers offense was going to be better this year than maybe people expected. Obviously, the defense isn't going to be better than people expected because it is going to be pretty bad. So there's a combination this week, I think, of how bad the Panthers defense is going to be this year, also linked with the offense being able to put up some points. But I think there's a combination of both of those with the six over 60 points being scored. But I do think that Jacobs has surpassed my expectations of what he was going to do this year and how good he looked. And I really think that, you know, he's going to be pushing himself for one of those kind of top eight finishes if he can continue, especially to get that pass catching work. What's your expectation for him? Were you thinking that this was in the range of possibilities? And do you think it's something that will continue week on week here as we move forward?
Yeah, I think in terms of whether or not we missed the boat, the answer is sort of this yes, no, and no. So tricky here because there are a lot of different things going on. And the first is just that when Lynn Bowden was traded, that really changed everything for me. Now, you say, well, this is a rookie who doesn't even actually play running back. That shouldn't have been that big of a deal for you. But they were bringing him in to be this jack of all trades, but certainly someone who's going to be a receiving back, right? And when you use that high pick, they picked him one spot ahead of Bryan Edwards, for whom I think they still have very, very high hopes. That influences the way you see things. And then, you know, they brought in some of their backs. Those other backs probably didn't mean that much to me. Yeah, you know, you look at Jalen Richard in this first game. I don't know why they keep paying him, right? Because they clearly don't think that he's any good. Devontae Booker goes in and looks pretty good in this game. If anything, I thought the fact that Booker was so involved was a very, very tiny minus for Jacobs, because with the guys they have on their roster, then, I mean, you could see Jacobs taking every single touch the rest of the season. And that, I think, puts him into this category where, yeah, I mean, you would love to have him on your roster. I moved him up to number 7 in my rankings. And that's not necessarily a huge jump, but it does put him there ahead of Edwards-Helaire. It puts him ahead of Aaron Jones. You know, I don't think that having him ahead of Derrick Henry is all that surprising or meaningful, because Henry is not somebody that you want on your team. But yeah, so there are some very big positives here for Jacobs. As soon as that move was made, I messaged Monty Fawn, who had been telling me about the high stakes draft that he was doing with John Lipinski. Those two guys, two of my very favorite analysts and high stakes players, two of the sharpest guys, they had taken Jacobs when their other target in round 2 had been selected right ahead of them. They actually had this really cool team where they drafted right at the moment when people were worried about Alvin Kamara's contract and perhaps health. And so they got Kamara at 9, Jacobs coming back around, then loaded up on the wide receivers, as we recommend that people do. That team looks like it's going to be a fantastic team. The flip side of things, I think that we have to consider, or just be aware of the fact, that the Carolina Panthers are the perfect defense to play any week, but certainly to get your season off to a good start. They're one of the very best matchups for a running back. If you were going to say, well, someone scored 3 touchdowns and just eviscerated the defense, you know, who did they play? I think just off the top of your head, you'd probably be like, well, they probably played the Carolina Panthers, right? A team that has a terrible defense, but an offense that's going to push the pace, going to score a lot of points and keep that game exciting. You know, fantasy players are going to be loading up all of their players against the Panthers all season. I think those Panthers games are going to end up as some of the most exciting to watch. They have Christian McCaffrey, they have DJ Moore, they have Robbie Anderson, and really, I mean, it's just one big play. You know, we know Robbie Anderson is capable of that one big play, but I think a resurgent Robbie Anderson in this offense. So, you know, Panthers is going to be must-watch TV all season. By contrast, when you open up the strength of schedule tool, you see that Josh Jacobs now has the number 32 dead last strength of schedule for the rest of the season. And, you know, we're still gathering data on defense. You know, we don't know exactly what everybody is going to be this year, but there are a lot of problems for Jacobs schedule wise coming forward, to where all you need to do to get a sense of why you might not want to overreact to Saquon Barkley, might not want to overreact to Josh Jacobs, is to look at what happened in those two games, right? You're looking at Saquon Barkley being tackled 4 yards in the backfield on almost every carry. And that's not something that's going to happen to him the rest of the season. Josh Jacobs, you know, running through air is not something that's going to happen to him the rest of the season. And so we have to balance those things. Then the third element of the no that I'm giving is simply that in order to take Josh Jacobs, you would have still needed to pass on people like a Davante Adams, a Julio Jones, a DeAndre Hopkins. And I don't think that's the right play. And so even though Jacobs now is someone where if you have him on your team, you're excited. You're not regretting that in any way, shape, or form. But you know, if you have the Julio Hopkins stack, you have some of these wide receivers who are set to, you know, really blow up and carry your team to a championship, then I think that I would still go that direction. So yeah, it's disappointing not to have Jacobs. And I think that he is going to do a little bit better than we thought. I think we're still a ways away from saying we prefer to have him to some of our other choices in that same area.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with that. I think if we were drafting right now over again, like I would be taking one of those second wide receivers in that second round that you've mentioned, you know, like Hopkins was going toward, I know he wouldn't right now, but he was going towards the back end of that second round in most leagues. And, you know, there's a lot of other options in there that I would be still taking over him. If you look at some of the numbers that he did put up this week, you know, in terms of his snap share, you know, things that like all spiked from what he would have had last season, 78% snap share. You mentioned that he might get all the work all season long. That is a possibility, but he did have 25 rush attempts. He did have six targets for four receptions. You know, if we look back to last year, he had 20 receptions on the entire season. He only had 27 targets in the entire season. So I don't think that it's going to be quite the momentum that moves forward. And if it is that amount of work, I know we've seen Christian McCaffrey be able to hold up and manage that with the Carolina Panthers, but you know, with running backs, it is a position where injuries do tend to happen more often. I think if they keep running him out at that workload, we're not going to see him make it through all 16 games. He did play 13 games last year, but definitely an exciting performance from him. But I think that we'll do a couple of questions, Sean. If we were doing over under the points in this game, is this the best performance of the season from Jacobs?
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say he has one more game even bigger than this.
Yeah, he probably. I'm on the fence actually. So just to have a disagreement, I'm going to say this is the best game of the season for him. You know, to put up three touchdowns, to have over 100 all-purpose yards. You know, it's really a really really strong one. So I'm going to say no, but I think he will have a number of double score games throughout the season. And I think he is a running back that, you know, people, if you were going robust running back, he's definitely somebody you'd like to have targeted. But I think as you kind of hit the nail on the head, I think with the way we're constructing those rosters, I don't think he's somebody who is going to end up on a lot of our teams. With the football season back, Pepsi are ready to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. I love Pepsi, one of my favorite beverages to just sip on while watching the games. I love to have it. My hint is to put it in the freezer. I usually put it in the freezer for maybe 15 minutes. It'd be really nice cold then. Can really enjoy it while watching the games. Usually, you know, it's a 6 hour slate. Usually when I watch from 6 p.m. here in Ireland all the way through then to kind of 1:30 maybe in the morning. I like to get a few of them in there where I can. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power you through game day and become a member of the League of Football. Football watchers. These are passionate fans ready for real generational talent, and that's what Pepsi fuels. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch the game. Pepsi, it's simply made for football watching. Even though sports had a break, your business didn't, and that's why I want to tell you about our friends over at Indeed. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring even more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people, and they do it fast. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the most important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering listeners to our show a $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it, and once again, they'll see it fast. Try Indeed out with our free $75 credit at indeed.com/bluewire. This is the best offer available anywhere. Don't miss out. Go right now to indeed.com/bluewire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through September 30th. We're going to look at some overreactions, underreactions from week one based on the rest of season kind of projections. Is there any, Sean, that you want to highlight?
Well, I was looking back at my bold predictions from our last week's show and trying to get a sense of just how silly they were. And it turns out that these are okay. So we have Gardner Minshew as a low-end QB1. You know, three touchdown passes in week one. They basically didn't have the ball, so three touchdown passes probably as well as you're going to do. That's a decent prediction to start. Philip Lindsay leads the Denver backfield in scoring. Nope. Ridley outscores Julio Jones. We're 1 week in. Possible. Julio going to be someone very difficult to beat. Stephon Diggs beats his positional ADP by more than 10 spots. Off to a solid start. CeeDee Lamb is the highest scoring Dallas wide receiver. Amari Cooper with sort of the, not exactly garbage time, but that final drive really puts up the points there to put week one out of reach. But Lamb looked good. I think he's going to be a big threat to those guys. Still a possibility. Noah Fant finishes the top five tight end. That one looking very strong. Mecole Hardman scores more TDs than Tyreek Hill. We're just going to ignore that that one is even on the list. Eric Ebron is on half of the top 10 teams in the main event. Ebron not involved in week one. We'll have to track what he does going forward here. Hines has three 10-catch games. Well, we've got one 8-catch game so far. Those 10-catch games are very much in the possibilities that we have out there. And then Benny Snell averages 18 points a game from week 10 on and is the FFPC League playoffs league winner. Well, didn't get 18 points in week one, but already really flashing. We'll have to see what he does. We're rooting for James Conner to get healthy, but Snell looking good there. So to all told, I'm pretty excited about those predictions, Colin. Over under reaction on Hardman. He played way behind Sammy Watkins and DeMarcus Robinson. Robinson continued to not look very good. What should we be thinking about Hardman's role with the Chiefs here?
I think it's like, you know, I mentioned with like the likes of DJ Moore and that as well. It's just a 1 week and, you know, the sample size just is far too small. Like there's running backs who didn't put up points this week and I'm not going to be having any victory laps on those because the first thing will happen is come week two, they rush for, you know, two touchdowns and 100 yards and you look silly. So what I would be saying about Mecole Hardman is, you know, it probably wasn't just going to click in week one anyway. So we'll wait till the season goes on. Sammy Watkins actually historically has done tremendous in week one. That's kind of his week off the season and then we can have the overreaction to it's going to happen every single game and, you know, week two, week three, nothing comes off it. So I think it's like play it by ear. I wouldn't be starting them. I wasn't starting them in any leagues this past week. I won't be starting them in any leagues this coming week. But as the season goes on, week four, week five, I think we'll start to see him get more of a role. I just think he's too explosive to not have involved in that offense. But the one thing when you have Mecole Hardman in your lineups, you're going to have that kind of almost Deshaun Jackson expectation that this guy is going to win me the week or this guy is going to maybe not put up any points this week. It can happen and that's kind of what you're dealing with Mecole Hardman. But I think that consistency will come as well as the season prolongs. I'm pretty sure, Sean, that you're still confident in Hardman coming good.
I don't know. You have these situations where I think when you're right about somebody in week one, then it just completely convinces you that you are right. Right. So we get pushed even higher on the guys that we were on. We get pushed even lower on the guys that were off. When you're wrong about somebody, it's interesting the reactions there because it's either a thing of, well, this was just 1 week. You know, the coaches didn't do it right. They'll, you know, see the error of their ways. They'll realize that Ryan Tannehill completely ignoring AJ Brown's half of the field through most of the game, probably not the recipe for getting back to the AFC championship game, things like that. On the other hand, you know, there are some where, you know, it's just so startling what happens that, you know, you feel yourself really flipping. And the situation with Hardman, it's frustrating for me a little bit with some of the things that the Chiefs are doing here. And, you know, you just got to remind yourself, I mean, the Chiefs are almost unbeatable at this point, right? I was talking with some friends and they were sort of kind of jokingly mentioning that, you know, when you're as good as the Chiefs, when you're as dominant as this team is that Andy Reid has built, then you almost have to start doing some kind of crazy things just to keep proving that you're smarter than everybody else, right? Drafting Clyde Edwards-Helaire when you have guys like a Jonathan Taylor, like a J.K. Dobbins, available to be selected. You know, doing things like continuing to start DeMarcus Robinson, because with the coaching acumen that Reed brings to the game, with Patrick Mahomes, who already I think is a historically great quarterback, you know, they just toyed with the Texans on Thursday night, and the Texans are going to be one of the better teams that they play. And so in order to keep games interesting, they're going to be challenged with doing some goofy types of things. I think one of the things that they could do would be to put Hardman out there and let him play some, you know, get someone else to stretch the field. Sammy Watkins, DeMarcus Robinson, the defenses don't care about them. I think if you're a Chiefs fan, and certainly if you're a Tyreek Hill owner, you would prefer to see Hardman playing. Hill saves that game with the touchdown, but those 15 points and how little he was involved in week one, that's not at all what fantasy owners are hoping to get from someone that they drafted in the same range as a Julio Jones, as a DeAndre Hopkins, right? And so there are some things that the Chiefs could still do here to make this offense much more dominant. And we say that with a team that's a virtual lock to score 30 points a game. I mean, the Chiefs really have a 50-point like consistent output as something that they could do if they made some changes and continue to play in the third and fourth quarters. Now, from a sportsmanship perspective, they're probably not going to be doing the latter one of those two things. It would be fun to see Hardman on the field.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun. I think I know. I agree everything you said there about like Andy Reid and you know the situation. But we also have to think that there's no preseason. Potentially, he could have had some sort of a knock. I don't think that was the case. But what I also think is like we're at week one. We have to think they've just won the Super Bowl. Their intention is to go back and win the Super Bowl again. They're thinking about the entire season. There's no game tape based on the preseason. They're probably also when they you mentioned they were kind of toying with them. They have no need to really push it that extra bit, so why put stuff on tape now that in 2 weeks time they can use in a game to win that game? I know like they're not thinking about our fantasy football teams, they're thinking about what to do rest of season for the best outcome. So I think they're the sort of areas where we will see overreactions this week. I think we'll see teams that we think played really well this past week who get like completely shut out in week two or get dominated in week two and vice versa. I think that happens every year. So I'm looking forward to doing it. Just when we're on Mecole Hardman, I seem a little bit more confident for week two than you are. So let's set it over under 40 yards. I'll take over 40 yards. Are you going to take under 40 yards?
I'm maybe going to take under two targets, but I think he can get 90 yards with that. I mean, he's going to score on half of his touches, right? I mean, he's that electric. So, you know,
Let's go for overall. I'll take over two targets. You take under two targets, and two targets with Mecole Hardman's probably, I don't know, 120 yards, two touchdowns. So we'll go with that. But I'm looking forward to seeing what happens and what this Chiefs offense. Like, remember back to last year, the week one and how things happened then in week two when it came. I think I just remembering back. I watched week two actually in San Diego last year, and the Raiders actually went out to quite a strong lead towards halftime, and the Chiefs came back and beat them. So you know, we have all these kind of changes and things that'll happen. So let's see, like, you know, I wouldn't expect Washington to, you know, win again this week based on how they played last week, but let's see what happens. Let's see how it shakes out. The Jaguars are in the same boat, you know. So I'm looking forward to seeing what maybe we're expecting after week one that maybe we aren't right on, but week two should be a lot of fun. I hope all the listeners are going to enjoy it wherever they do watch it. Hopefully your teams do well for you. And as always, you can get yourself a 10% discount to a RotoViz NFL pass by using the code 2020RBRadio at checkout, or by going to rotoviz.com/podcast for further information. And a thank you, I guess, to all the podcast listeners over the off season who have signed up through that link, help support the podcast network, and it is much appreciated to each and every one of you. And I know that we've got a lot of feedback too from listeners, you know, for the information that's provided on the website and for the tools and content. Very, very happy they are with those purchases. Hopefully it brings them success in the 2020 season. Well, that's going to do it for today's edition of the show. Thanks once again to Davis for dropping in his you know, his thoughts on Josh Jacobs and asking us the question. We will be having somebody on the second show like that each and every week as we give our thoughts on it. It's going to be fun throughout the season. But with that, you can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland, and you can check out all Sean's great work up on the RotoViz website. Drop us a written review in your favorite podcast app, and until we're back next Tuesday, have a good one. Enjoy week two.
Thank you for listening to Overtime and RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz with a discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. The wait is over. As you've seen in week one, football is back, and you might not be at a game this year, but you can certainly bet on the action at Bet Online. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure you get every possible chance to win this season, from game spreads and totals to team players and coaching props. Bet Online gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. And you can still get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head on over to BetOnline to take advantage of the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use our promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.